And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence.
It was 1776 when the founders signed the writ of independence from the Brits. It was revolution. Now an enemy from within would enslave us all again and deprive us of our rights in the Constitution. Restore the Republic. Wake up, it's time to understand. Restore the Republic. We're losing our freedom in the land. Working from behind the scenes, controlling everything, from the daily news we read to the politicians. And they're pulling our financial strings, more powerful than kings. It's the central bank elite bringing our destruction. Restore the Republic. Wake up, it's time to make a stand. Restore the Republic. We are the people and we can. Restore the Republic. Pledge our allegiance to the flag. Restore the Republic. We gotta take the freedom back. America arises, it's time to open up our eyes and march back down the road to freedom. If we look the other way, they'll take our rights away. So we the people must seek freedom. Restore the Republic. Shoving taxes down our throats, bailing out banks we don't even owe. It's a ruination. They're invading our privacy with high technology, microchip in our ID. It's abomination. Restore the Republic. Wake up, it's time to make a stand. Restore the Republic. Spread the news across the land. Restore the Republic. Pledge our allegiance to the flag. Restore the Republic. It's time to take our freedom back. It's time to take our freedom back. It's time to take our freedom back.
Ladies and gentlemen, we want to thank you and welcome you to the weekly call for the Republic for the United States of America, a government on, by, and for the people, not a movement. We want to welcome you to the Republic for the United States of America. My name is Kelby. We do these calls every single week, and it's for no other purpose but to blow your minds. We want to introduce you to the laws that pertains to what we've done, and basically reaching out to the 14th Amendment corporate citizen. So we thank you and welcome every single person to this call. We do open up the calls in prayer. So Janine, did you have somebody in mind?
Yes, I'd like to ask Speaker Rockwell to open the call for us this evening.
Yeah, I'd be happy to do that for you.
Thank you.
Dear Lord, thank you for letting us come together tonight and give the general public an idea what your republic is all about. As Kelby explains it, as Senator LaRue and myself give an overview of what our duties are and what we do, help us to explain it clearly so that everybody can understand, because we've been taught in a way that may make it hard to understand, but what we're doing is very simple because it's your law. It's your law from your word, and your word is perfect. So keep us as we attempt to do this tonight, that we can be looking to you and get guidance from you as well. And all this I pray in your son's name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen and amen. Thank you, John. All right, ladies and gentlemen, what we do every single week is we try to reach out to the general public and teach them and help them understand what we are. And I expressed this when we opened it up the call, we are not a movement. We're not a body of crazy people. We are a body of people that did nothing more than what the founding fathers have already done. They originally in 1776, they simply declared, and the body of people came together and formed a government on this land. Now, there's many speculators as to how that exactly happened. And this citizenship of a state citizenship started being born all the way across the country. At that particular time, there was 13 colonies. And so they had to form a government. They had to form first a declaration as to why, and then they had to form a set of operating documents, and the operating documents to cup check the government was the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, which were ratified in 1791. This is very important for people to understand because the average officer on our land right now who's coming across the and traveling and pulling people over, they don't understand what came through the Declaration, what came through the Constitution. They don't understand the citizenship. They generally think that every single person that holds a driver's license is a United States citizen, and they probably don't even understand that the United States that they know is a corporate citizenship. And you can easily find that under Title 28, Section 3002. It says the United States is a federal corporation. If you were to Google, I don't ever say this one right, but if you were to Google UCC 309H, you would see that the United States is exclusive jurisdiction is in the District of Columbia. So we all stand here and we think, wait a minute, I thought I was in the United States. Technically, no, you're on California Republic for me. And in 1849, the people, the Republic, the upper and lowercase state of California got together and they wrote the Constitution for the state of California. Well, between 1849 and 1879, it was incorporated and a new constitution was developed, and it was a corporate constitution that was under the United States Corporation. Now, this is very important for people to understand because it's debatable when the United States was incorporated. In my opinion, it was incorporated several times, and the purpose of the incorporation was to basically make the people, the stockholders, and the debtors against what the bankers were going to eventually do, and they're doing it right now, and they're very slick. Now, you would think that the people that go into these offices would have the people's back, meaning us. But instead, what they've done over the last 150 years is they've created a series of corporations that have allowed them to act and operate in dishonor against the American people. The decisions they make are never pro-America, never pro-people. They use the media as a propaganda tool. It's sad to say, but when I listen to the media now, I'm very discouraged because the media never tells the story like it truly is. You never get the truth from the media. As a matter of fact, when the AP makes a release, all the different newspapers across the country pick up the AP, pick up whatever, and they just copy the words, change it up a little bit, put their signature on it, press out the newspaper because that's what's being delivered from the top. Therefore, we must do it. Well, I got to tell you something. The United States is a corporation, and it is the largest client for the media. I want you to think about it that way. I came from this auspices as a child of God, as a person, a man, a living being, a guy who was in the world just trying to go out and dot my I's and cross my T's, start up a company, create my American dream. I was doing filing my taxes, doing everything that I was supposed to be doing, and then I find out, boom, this country's in a corporation. That for me wasn't easily accepted. Now, I knew that we could act and operate as a corporation But I also knew the corporate structure was not just Barack Hussein Obama at the top. I knew that the corporate structure had a series of offices, such as a chairman of the board, such as stockholders. So I, in my mind, questioned who ran this corporation. It's pretty simple, guys. You simply look at the background. Who is using this corporation to bleed it dry and make the debtors responsible, meaning the people? So who's the debtors? You, a United States citizen. You're technically a federal employee. Now, you are a stockholder in the United States Corporation. You are a debtor, and every time they make a decision for the debt, you are liable. And they tell it to you in the news. So here's the point. These guys in this, these 500-plus seats in the de facto Congress make decisions every single week that go against the fundamentals of properly having an accounting for the people. If you are not aware, the United States Corporation has not delivered a budget, listen, in almost 4.5 years. Now, if that doesn't blow your socks off, I don't know what will. But this is our government, quote-unquote, the people that we think is our government. They haven't delivered a budget in that period of time. Not only that, but they've opened the cap ceiling on the debt, and they are continuing to go further and further into debt. Now, let me give you just a nutshell of how much interest we have to pay the Federal Reserve, which is who really runs the show. We pay them all of the taxes due every single year, and we keep going further into debt. Talk about a conspiracy. Talk about a plan to hurt the people. How do you expect to get out of a debt when originally, 100 years ago, they made such a crazy contract, such as the Federal Reserve Act, to give them carte blanche power, really, to run this world and make an opportunity for themselves like no other entity ever on the face of the earth. Now, we think that we are the most blessed nation on the face of the earth. If we don't make some serious hard changes right now, I'm going to tell you, this country will be judged. Now, talk about it from a spiritual standpoint. I'm going to set that aside. Let's talk about it from a reality standpoint. We are so deep in debt that every other country on the face of this earth does not take American dollars anymore. They don't trade in it. And what's going to happen very soon is you're going to see the Middle Eastern countries start trading in something other than a U.S. dollar. And when that happens, you're going to see our dollar collapse. Now, guys, we voted for those quote-unquote people in Congress. Those quote-unquote people were our representatives and made decisions to bail out banks instead of bailing out the homeowners. They made decisions to not indict the banks for delivering these fraudulent loans that never existed. And they're allowing for these banks to go out, meaning Eric Holder and these various people, to go out and commit fraud and more fraud and more fraud and more fraud, because ultimately the United States Corporation is buying every quote-unquote fake, phony loan in this country and then going and stealing the house, and it's becoming a Fannie Mae-owned home. Welcome to the scam. They first, and I might be going a little bit long here, but they first incorporated the IRS and the Federal Reserve in 1911 and 1913, and they created contracts that allowed them to, what, tax us and print money out of thin air. Originally, it was gold-backed. From 1913 till 1933, it was the largest theft of gold on the face of the earth ever. 1933 to 1945, they took the land and they collateralized the people. Now, there's attorneys out there that will laugh and they'll put little videos up saying that none of this truly exists, that your birth certificates are not monetized, that your sweat equity isn't banked on the Fidelity.com, and that none of that it really exists. And I'm going to tell straight to that attorney's face, you're a liar. Okay? It's pretty easy to find that everything, including a bankruptcy, is monetized. It's bonded and monetized. And it's a sad state. So what is really going on? It's a plan from the very beginning of from 1866 to today to steal the wealth and eventually put every single person that says anything about it behind bars. Isn't that crazy? Guys, this is critical as to why this republic, this government that sat back down in the vacated seats, we didn't start something crazy and say, we are now declaring like they did in 1776. That was crazy. Those guys are nuts. All we did is we picked up on the finished work of them that was vacated under the Civil War, under Abraham Lincoln, when he declared martial law per the Constitution when the war broke out. We went in under martial law, and the republic was set aside. Well, the military took over. And ever since then, the military has been in power. If you don't believe it, all you got to do is study. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Republic for the United States of America. We are law-abiding, peaceful Americans that simply found some truths, and we're sharing these truths with everybody in the world as quickly as possible. We want no ill to the United States Corporation or any of its employees. As a matter of fact, we want them to join the lawful republic on this land. We love them. We're here to support them in every regard possible, but it's going to take all of America to realize that there's very few at the top that have a plan and an agenda, and it does not include your children or your grandchildren or you. They are here to fail this nation, and we are here to stand up for it. Janine, I yield.
Thank you so much, Kelby. So this evening, to get started, I'd like to start with our congressional updates. And Senator LaRue, can you give us an update from the Senate, please?
Absolutely. Thank you. Can you hear me okay?
I can. Thank you.
Thanks so much. Welcome, everyone. Thank you, Kelby. We are working hard in getting to the bottom of this stuff. Like Kelby was talking about, we have restored our government to the time when it was acting lawfully, and it requires, people to be like-minded, to set aside their preconceived ideas and to set aside the propaganda and to reject that stuff in lieu of information that can be found in the Constitution, in the statutes at large, and to verify and validate it according to the process that's enacted in the Constitution. We're finding that the word contrary is an extremely important word. It's the word that's used in the Constitution that all of the judges, all the officers, all the legislators are required to take an oath or an affirmation to support the Constitution and the laws that are made to it. And it says anything in the Constitution or the laws of any state to the contrary notwithstanding. So any act that has been carried into effect that is contrary to the Constitution and the intent of the Constitution, which is to protect the people from the government, is not an act that can be supported by any judge in the nation under their oath. And then if a judge were to uphold such a thing, it would be incumbent upon the people that are aware of that to hold that judge accountable, and folks that don't want to hold them accountable get held accountable, and eventually we get down to a point where people are really going to take this stuff seriously. And the oath of office is everything, as well as your political jurisdiction, as Kelby has said before. And what they've done is they've set up a number of different jurisdictions where they have enslaved the people in. And that's what we're finding, is that these things are absolutely outside of the enumerated powers of the Congress. And now we're starting to find where it's possible that maybe we've had the preconceived ideas that we've had about how this thing happened, and the way that it's been made to appear is not exactly how it is. And surprise, surprise, but you know, we were thinking that at some point the executive, somehow by the Congress taking the civil oath of office, became subject to the executive, we're thinking that, with good reason now, that it appears that the Congress made themselves a part of it so that they could be on top of the executive, and that they could be in charge, and that they could write laws, or they could enforce the laws through legislation rather than the executive branch and the judicial branch with their checks and balances carrying into effect the things that the Congress did. So there's a number of moving parts with all of this, and I would invite everyone that's listening to get into the Constitution, get into the statutes at large, look these things up, follow through on the things that Kelby and others are talking about, and verify and validate the information for yourself. And if you find, as many of us have, that these things that we've been told are just simply not true, that we need to come together. We can't do this separately in separate parties or separate groups. We need to come together as one people, as Americans, and make this thing work under the Constitution, which is the supreme law of the land. And the remedy is there. The remedy is the Constitution. All of these other things are distractions. All of the power that the government has to help the people or to serve the people is in the Constitution. We've got to look there for the answers. That's what we're doing in our committees, and those are the things that we're working toward and discussing in the Senate and in the joint committee that we have right now going on with the House. We just this week got our several committees chairs appointed and those committees staffed so we can start reviewing nominations by the president to hold some very critical offices to us turning this thing around. You know, we have got to fix this in a time period known as, you know, where the laws were considered du jour. They're organic by the right of the people. We can't fix our problems in their jurisdiction. It has to be done in the rightful jurisdiction of the people. And that's what we're working toward. I yield.
Thank you so much, Senator LaRue. And now I'd like to invite Speaker Rockwell from the House.
Yes, good evening, everybody. Thank you for coming to the call. I can definitely echo what Senator LaRue had to say. Also, Kelby, there's a lot of work to be done. And if this sounds like it's something that you want to be a part of, we got work for you. So just go to our website, republicoftheunitedstates.org, and there's a place that you can sign up for being part of the Republic, and you can sign up and volunteer your skills and be a part of us and help us make this thing work with God's help, and we can use every able-bodied person that is there to be willing to help. In the House of Representatives, we have committees that we're working on as well. I started going over a monumental task today by going through the journals of the House of Representatives back starting, I believe, with 1789. And I think what I saw goes up to 1875. So I just barely got started that. It's the first Congress, they had three sessions, and there are a total of 835 pages that go through with just that first Congress. And so I've got quite a bit of work ahead of me. We also have other ad hoc committees that we've enacted in the House of Representatives. We have an education committee that met this week and kind of gave people on the committee some work to do on education, on our founding documents, and more. We also have a rules committee and a recruitment committee, which basically is in charge of finding a way that we can recruit people like you to the Republic, and also a joint ad hoc committee with the Senate on documentation. The House of Representatives is definitely busy doing research and moving the Republic forward. And I will let the chair of the Rules Committee now speak, Representative Kurzanowski, and he can give an update on that committee. With that, I yield.
Thank you, Representative Kurzanowski. Can you hear us this evening?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Welcome.
Oh, hello, everybody. Good evening. As Speaker Reckwell was talking about, we have many committees, which is that's where all the work is usually done anyways in Congress, is through the committees. We're doing our an important issue that we're dealing with is going over the rules that have been used since the beginning, and what we're trying to do is update them and have them so that they work with our how we do business today, our situations, and that's pretty much what we're doing, and we're going to have a new set of rules out probably next week, and that also goes into there's a lot of educational information in the House rules also for our representatives, so they can learn how to be representatives if they don't already know how. And yes, we do need we could use some people. I'm going to echo Representative Rockwell in that fact. And if you want to, you know, this country belongs to all of us. And you know, if you want to keep it the way it was put together by the founding fathers, and you know. If you want to keep it that way, then we're going to have to work at it a little bit. If we're going to keep a republic, it's going to take some work and diligence, and we have to protect our liberties. And with that, I yield.
Thank you so much, Representative Krasinowski. And I'm just double checking to see if we have. Yes, we are. I'd like to invite Senator LaRue back to the call, and also Governor Dan Owens, and they're going to share with you some of the research that has been uncovered recently that should be pretty interesting for you all. Gentlemen, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am, I can.
Okay, and Governor Owens, are you there too?
Yes, I unmuted myself.
All righty, you have the floor, gentlemen.
Thank you. Well, she said gentlemen, so I don't know if either one of us qualify, but
but it's nice to say, though. Thank you.
It is.
You're
it
welcome.
Is nice. Thank you very much.
Okay. Take it if you have to.
Yeah, there you go. Well, I'll just expand a little on some of what Senator Rue was saying earlier. Yes, we are. What we're doing is we're going through several pieces of the legislation, the amendments, and we're taking each one and we're just taking it apart. And we're working through it, thinking through it logically, and looking at the piece of legislation, studying the definitions of the words that are used, and when we're using the definitions of the words they use, we're not going to the current dictionary, we're going to Bouvier's Law, we're going to Black's Law. We're going to see what it meant to them at the time when they used these words. And we're dissecting these things and looking at the ramifications of what things really meant and what things really did to us. And it's interesting. It's exciting. And I'll give you one example without going into a whole lot of it, because once you get deep into it, it's hard to get out of that without spending several hours discussing it. But Senator LaRue and I have been doing just that. We get on the phone and we pull this stuff out and we talk our way through it. What took place here? What happened? And one in particular that we are looking at is a piece of legislation that was passed. As Senator LaRue said, we looked at things and thought that, well, this was right here. This was the problem. For instance, the Organic Act of 1871 that created the District of Columbia and incorporated. As as we looked at that and really got through and analyzed it, you know, for the government to create a corporation or to incorporate the District of Columbia was not an unlawful act. However, exactly 1 week later, they passed what was called the Federal Dictionary Act. And in that act, they made corporations and bodies politic equal to that of a man. Now, the wording is not exactly that way, but it is defined. They define bodies politic and corporations as persons. And this opened up, if I can use the term, a Pandora's box. And it absolutely created a new jurisdiction. The other thing is it's not in their enumerated powers to do. They did not have the authority to do that. So on its face, this is unconstitutional. The problem that we see is this was never challenged. It's going to have to be challenged. So we're working this in conjunction with building our courts, and that's an important issue. But the tentacles of this reach very, very deep and gave them the authority to do things in the 1900s that we say, well, they didn't have the authority to do. Understand, this was done in de jure law, and it was done unconstitutionally. It is void on its face, but it hasn't been challenged. It still stands in law, so we have got to challenge that. And these are the things that we are asking people, these are the pieces of legislation that we are asking people to come in and help. And a lot of times in the government or in particular, let's say here with the Republic, people say, well, we can't see what's going on, or we don't know what's taking place. Everything's being done behind the scenes. Well, right here, this is right dead center in the middle of the ballgame, what we're sharing here. And we are asking for help. If you want to be a part of this, if you want to grow the Republic, if you want to see that, just like Kelby was saying, if you want to see things change, we have to be the solution. The remedy, as Senator LaRue said, the remedy is the Constitution. The remedy is the Republic, the true Republican form of government that our founding fathers gave to us. And restoring that, that is the remedy. And we're asking for help. And I'm telling you, this is exciting stuff. This is interesting stuff. It's just really neat. I'm really excited about it. Senator LaRue, I'm going to yield the floor to you.
Thank you, Governor Owens. And one thing that I want to point out, just as a point of clarification, if you go into the statutes at large and try to find the Federal Dictionary Act, you won't find it that way. It's referred to in the United States Code as the Federal Dictionary Act. And I stumbled across it one day in my studies, going through the Constitution, looking for other, like the rules for the Congress or rules for the Senate and things like that as part of verifying and validating, and I lost track of it. I printed it out, don't know what I named it. We got to thinking about it later that it was a significant thing, and it took me a day and a half using every tool that I am becoming proficient in using for me to find it again. I mean, they hit it. It's not something that when you take the whole purpose, if you follow through the Bill of Rights and the Constitution and the preamble, the purpose of these documents is to protect the people, to promote the general welfare, to set up things so that we can pass things down to our children, you know, and the grand juries and the courts where they're set up, where it's a jury of our peers to protect us from the government. It makes no sense at all that at any point any piece of legislation would be enacted to put bodies politic and corporations on the books as equal to people. And then you go into the 14th Amendment and you find that persons, and this was, and again, keep in mind that the 14th Amendment was about 6 years before this Dictionary Act. So this is where we're finding all of these things that have been built upon that by themselves seem to be innocent things. But when you take it in context with all the other things that are written around these things and how they have been built upon, and the Administrative Procedures Act, and at the clause at the end of every amendment after the 13th Amendment that says the Congress can enforce these laws by writing legislation. You know, this is, these things have become the basis for us to become slaves of the corporation, for the corporation to, first of all, make themselves equal to us in the eyes of the law, and then make us enemies of the state and make us incompetent, or name us any other thing that they want to degrade our status in the eyes of the law. And so they've elevated themselves to the authority and power of a creator, and then they took the creator, in our case, the people, and have enslaved us by degrading our status in the eyes of the law. And so it's a very frustrating thing, and it's hard. It's overwhelming to see all the things, but you know, it takes a lot of study to go through this. I mean, we need literally hundreds, if not thousands, of people doing this kind of study. You know, the answers are all there. We're finding out that the answers are all in Scripture, and how much the founders, although they did not impose a particular religion on the people of our country, you can see, if you understand the Scriptures, the way that they wrote the laws, the structure and the order of the laws closely parallel that's in the canon of Scripture. And so their values are reflected in the laws of our land. And so it's a unique system of government. And I think that if we can start looking at things the right way, one of the things that we talked about is that if you the Constitution, if you spread it out, if you print it out in 12-point font, I think you can print it out in 6 or 8 pages. And if you include the Bill of Rights and the preamble to the Bill of Rights, you can do it in 8 or 9, you know, maybe 10 pages tops, depending on how big your font is. You know, this is where our solution is, you know, and we have been invited to consider every kind of distraction from the media, from every, you know, from the government itself to keep us guessing and off track. And when they have established a number of different jurisdictions by words of art, playing on words, and again, like Governor Owens said, they started this stuff in de jure law. And because, you know, the Constitution says that, you know, the word contrary, if it's contrary to the Constitution, no judge in the land is authorized to uphold it. But if it goes unchallenged, and it's allowed to be built upon, because they don't seem on their face to be nefarious in nature, it's caused us a lot of problems. And so our remedy is to go back to the point in time where the judges first upheld things that were outside of the enumerated powers of the Congress. And you start chipping away at it. This is a big chip in the game. You know, making a body politic, and I don't think it's so much the corporations, because corporations already had the right to form. They already had the right to contract with other people. It's when you make a body politic equal to people, when the government was instituted to protect the people from the government, it's a conflict of interest. It's you know, it's like the title of Nobilities Act. It's not all lawyers and attorneys are nefarious or evil people. It's simply the fact that the titles of nobility granted by another country, that's part of their government structure. How can you hold an office in our country when you hold an office in another country? It's simply a conflict of interest. It's not as nefarious as people want to make it sound. It's just simply you can't do it. That's why you can't be an officer in a state and also at the government, at the federal level as well. It's a conflict of interest. It's why a judge cannot judge over a case that he's personally involved in or his family's personally involved in. It's a conflict of interest. It's a very simple thing. And so when you get into all of these things all at the same time without having the proper checks and balances operating within their lawful authority all at the same time, this we've got 150 years of these laws that have been used against us, and they've gone unchecked. The government thinks that they're doing, you know, the people that have grown up now, they don't give it a second thought that these things are, whether they're right or wrong. Well, the government did it and I don't like it, but you know, what can I do? It's the government. Well, it's not the way it's supposed to be. If it's contrary, it's already unlawful on its face. It requires the people who are under oath and the people themselves, if those that are under oath fail to perform in their oath, to hold one another accountable. And if there's a simple mistake, great. You correct the mistake. You correct the person, and you deal with the person that made the mistake based on how they act when they are corrected. If they are repentant, if like our president, Tim Turner, keeps talking about, if they repent, we forgive them, right? But if they refuse to receive the correction and they're unwilling to change, then you have to remove them. They're not allowed to hold the office of trust, honor, or profit to on behalf of the people of this great country if they simply refuse to honor their oath. It's that simple. And so all of the people that are in office now, you know, a lot of them are you know, and again, we have a lot of research to do. We don't, you know, we need to figure out what is the root of all of these different agencies that have been created and the functions of these court systems and things like that. We do know that they're all corporations. They're private companies. If you go on Manta.com, like Roger Waters has said on a couple of our calls, and you look up your local court system or the judge even, if you look up Nancy Pelosi, you're going to find that she is a corporation also doing business as this, that, or the other. How can that be? How can they be public servants working for our interest when they are a for-profit company, a private company? It's not even a public company that the people hold the reins to. These things are absolutely out of order. You know, the people are the ones that God gave dominion, meaning sovereign authority. It's unalienable rights, meaning we cannot give them away. We cannot have them taken away. Therefore, this system that currently exists is absolutely and utterly unlawful. It's contrary to the organic law. And we are not allowed or permitted to enact statute laws that are contrary to the organic law. The created things can never become more powerful than the creator, and that's what's happened. And so it's a work of the enemy. It's work of deception. You know, in order for any contract to be valid, you have to have certain, you have to have disclosure. It has to be based in truth. It has to be reasonable. No reasonable person in this country would have allowed the government to create, to make the government equal to people in the eyes of the law. They would never have done that. That's a conflict of interest that is absolutely cannot stand. And so in order to challenge that, it simply, there needs to be a complaint. It needs to be reviewed. And the answer is simply this. This is outside of the enumerated powers of the Congress. And that's the end of the day. Any judge that enforces it is guilty of bad behavior. They are subject to removal. Anybody that fails to remove them is guilty of disorderly behavior. They're subject to being disciplined or expelled from the Congress. All of these things, all of the remedies that we need exist in the Constitution. And we have to fix it in quote-unquote de jure law because that's where it started. We cannot go into their jurisdiction and fight through equity, commercial, maritime, admiralty laws to fix a de jure problem. If it's in the Constitution, it is a de jure law. It is an organic law. It's not a statutory law. It's not something that you have to deal with anywhere else. There's only one way to fix it, and that's to use the Constitution. And that's exciting. But to get to all the moving parts, I mean, this stuff is buried everywhere. And it wasn't just one act that is the smoking gun. It is a series of things, like Kelby was pointing out and Governor Owens was pointing out, that this has been systematically done against us by the banksters and the elite people that have tried to enslave our country and use it for their nefarious purposes, for their personal gain, rather than for the benefit of the people of this nation. God, you know, and it's against God's law to do it, and there is going to be judgment, you know, and those that repent, you know, they've got a chance to get it sorted out, and if they don't, they're simply going to be, you know, the Bible already says that they're going to be sifted out. So, you know, and it's a hard thing to see. It's a hard thing to see our country and our people subjected to this stuff. But it just, you just have to get serious about studying it out. Like the, you know, the Bible says that, you know, in the first century church, they devoted themselves to certain things, and God gave the increase on a daily basis. If we will devote ourselves to the teachers of our founders, which is our organic law, it is the supreme law of the land, meaning it is superior in every way in law to every other law in our country. It's superior. It holds a superior position, like God's law holds a superior position to the government law. You know, but it's a different jurisdiction. The purpose of the church and the purpose of the government are different. And there's a lot of people that think that, you know, that they're mixing. They're not. You know, the Constitution is who the government answers to. It is the document, the standard, the rule that governs our republic. And there's no other way to do it. And we have to become experts at looking at that law for our solutions, because that is the only, that those are the only lawful means that our government people have to help the people or to protect the people. That's the only the things that have been authorized for us to use. So that is our only solution. All these other things that people do in the private with different solutions and stuff like that, God bless them if it'll work. But so far we've found that they don't work everywhere all the time. The Constitution is meant to work every place in this country, in every court, everywhere, every time. And we have to confine the issues to constitutional issues. And the military is bound by oath to support us when we do that. So that's another issue. If you look on manta.com, you'll find out that the Department of the Army, Department of the Navy, Department of the Air Force, etc., they are all companies. They are not, you know, they're not, I just can't imagine how a private company can have diplomatic immunity. And this is a big issue. So, you know, there's a lot of far-reaching issues in this, and I encourage everyone, again, to get involved with the solution. We cannot succeed. You know, the principles of the Bible is that a house divided is never going to succeed. It's going to fall. We cannot, with all the good intentions of the people in the Tea Party, the Republican Party, Democratic Party, Independent Party, all these different parties, we are all Americans, and if we are all standing on these different ideas without getting absolutely united in the solution, which is the Constitution, which is the only foundation for anything to do with the government, we are not going to succeed. We have got to come together, ladies and gentlemen, and we got to do it now. While we, you know, it's our duty as public servants to protect the people and to bring these things to your attention. That's what we're doing. We're researching the solutions. We are going to get to it, long time or short. So the quicker we get together on this thing, the better it's better it's going to be for everybody. I hope that answers your questions. I yield. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Hey,
Janine, can I have the floor for a second?
Yes, sure. Go ahead, Kelby.
Just a second. Thank you. You know, as I listen to this, I want to explain to people that in the bubble that we lived in the bubble that we grew up in the bubble that was given to us by the media, it's a hard pill to swallow to understand that there's something that's outside the bubble that doesn't fit within the bubble that could be different. And what you're hearing is all the stuff outside the bubble, and it's called the truth. One of the things that people need to really just get their heads wrapped around as they are doing research and helping themselves understand, the United States Corporation has NSA, Comtel, and all these various agencies, CIA, that are designed to do one thing, which is to give a counterintelligence a different aspect of what an opinion is. So, like, for example, in the republic that we've had for the last several years, we've had many, many people infiltrate this republic, in my opinion, who were trained to do one thing, and that's to divide this republic. And the second thing that they did was to take the head off, which was Tim Turner, and do an indictment against him, and ultimately convict him of IRS issues that gave him 18 years. And you know what? It's a sad day when you take a look at really what's going on, because if you were to understand anything about due process of law or of trial, you would know that Americans today, especially our president, did not get lawful due process whatsoever. And they have to live in fear of these corporations, which are private, which have no accountability. And the big one is the Federal Reserve or the IMF or the United Nations. And they all go unchecked. And the funny thing is they're very few and we're very many. And all we have to do is get this word and information out to the people. I'm going to tell you right now, we are protected in a way that I don't want to explain. It's a neat thing to watch how God works, and it's a neat thing to watch what he does to people that are loyal to his cause and to his people. And I want to encourage you, if you haven't got off your seat yet, or if you're sitting on the sidelines waiting for somebody to bring you your Republic diplomatic ID card, you're going to continue waiting. Every single person needs to pick up their battle stick, which is their pen, and get to work and start helping out and call up their local republic. And if there isn't a local republic established one, and do what's right. Get off your butt and do what's right. There's a ton of people on this call, and you don't need to sit back and listen anymore. You need to sit back and get active. And that could be simply in the back of your chair shooting emails off to people, telling them what's going on, and getting the word out. You're not going to be crazy, because we are absolutely putting a system and a package together that's going to affirm everything that we have said, everything that we have done. And I'm going to tell you right now, there will be other countries that will take our package, take who we are, and will make treaties with us, and that will affirm the fact that we are the on by and for the people Republic for the United States of America. Janine, I yield.
Thank you so much, Kelby.
Go,
Governor
brother.
Yes, I just wanted to chime in one thing real quick. In fact, Senator LaRue and I were talking about this today, and there are a lot of myths out there. A lot of things that we have been told, this is this way or this is that way. And for instance, and I'm not calling this a myth, but for instance, another thing that we are researching is the original 13th Amendment. And, it's been published in several states' documents, several, enough to the point where you say, okay, common sense tells me that this was ratified, but we have not been able to prove it. We do not have the documentation that 13th state during the time period that was needed for 13 states and then 14 states. We have not got the documentation that to prove that. So until that we have that documentation, unless you have it, if you do, great, send it to us. Get us the information. That's something we can use. That is an area we are researching. But until we have the absolute proof and documentation, we can't say, well, this is the way something is. Another issue is and Senator LaRue and I were just talking about this today, is the titles of nobility. And how that is, there are people who use the term Esquire, or a different title as such, and it's for a lack of a better word, it's almost like a nickname. It is not under English law, where under English law, we know it to be an oath or a commitment, a contract with the crown. there are different aspects to it, and in researching it and finding the definitions, we find that that there is a bad connotation to this, and then there is one that is not does not carry the same weight and the same effect. So we have to be very careful and very specific in how we look at words and what the words mean to the people who use them. And this is something we were talking about, I spoke about earlier. We need to be very careful that we don't fall into the trap. And one of the things that we have noticed is that Kelby was just alluding to this, and I think it's a great point, that there are people that have been sent among us for years to divide us. There have been people that that I think it's their job to put paperwork out that is designed to get people in trouble. And because we all are looking for a solution and remedy, a lot of times we grasp onto things without seeing the full effect of what this does or what it can do to us. And then people go and use it, and they end up getting themselves in trouble. We don't want to see our friends and our countrymen get in trouble because they thought they were looking at something that was good, and they got it off of a quote-unquote patriot site or something that led them down the wrong path. And basically what you end up finding is that paperwork did exactly what it was designed to do. It got them in trouble. So being specific with words, being specific with the understanding of words and how they use them and how we use them is just critical. And I just wanted to add that in, Janine.
Well, thank you so much, Governor Owens. And before we move on to our next segment, I do want to give everyone the site of where they can find has been called the Federal Dictionary Act of 1871. As Senator LaRue said, the name of the act is not the Federal Dictionary Act. So I'm going to give you the sites where you can go to it. It is the 41st Congress, Session 3, Chapter 71, in 1871, February 25th. It is on page 4. I'm not sure if that says an 81 or a 31 of the journal. And the name of the act is an act prescribing the form of the enacting and resolving clauses of acts and resolutions of Congress and rules for the construction thereof. And you will find under section 2 where they put corporations on equal footing with the real people. So I wanted to give you that. And when we, as Governor Owens had said, until we find something and we can prove that it happened, this is where we need to find it. We need to find it in the statutes at large or the journals of the House and the Senate. With the situation with the 13th Amendment, you have to go to the state journals to find that both the House and the Senate approved the amendment. You've got to find that in the state journals. So, but that's where we look for it. We don't look for it on Patriot sites. So with that said, we're going to go into our next segment, and that's Treading Waters, and I'd like to welcome Roger Waters to the call. Roger, I know we've gone long this evening, but the floor is yours.
Thank you. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you. Thank you. Oh,
Could I
interrupt you for one moment? I just got a note passed to me that Senator LaRue wanted to mention something about TONA, that is the Titles of Nobility Amendment. Senator LaRue?
Thank you, Janine. Yeah, if you look up, one of the things, if you Google things, it'll come up right away is Wikipedia. One of the things that it says on that particular page regarding the Titles of Nobility Act is that we have 50 states now. That means that we need 38 states to ratify that act. because they're trying to say that it's still active and we just need to all the states need to ratify it. That's not the way it works. If at any point along the line where the states came into the union, that those states, you have 3/4 of the states that enact it, then it becomes enacted. So these are the kind of details that we need to get into and look at it and reason through it and talk through it until we get down to it. You know, because somebody says something doesn't make it so, right? So if it takes 3/4 of the states to enact it, if at any point during the process of when states were added into the union that they have 3/4 of the states that adopt that, it becomes an amendment to the Constitution. So I just wanted to point that out as a point of clarification. Thank you. I yield.
Okay. Thank you so much. And Roger, I'm sorry for that interruption. Your floor is yours without interruption now.
Thank you. Got an exclusive tonight. I don't think there's anybody on this call that has never heard in their life that the federal government would do anything to hurt you. We were all brought up to believe that they are there to protect us. Well, here's one for you. U.S. directs agents to cover up program used to investigate Americans. Now, that would be you and I. This is from Reuters. A secret U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration unit is funneling information from intelligence intercepts, wiretaps, informants, and a massive database of telephone records to authorities across the nation to help them launch criminal investigations of Americans. That would be you and I. Now, this is coming from an organization. It's called SOD, otherwise known as Special Operations Division. That could be classified as anything. It's just special. Whatever they need them to do, they'll do. Also known as Blackwater. Now, these documents that the federal agents are trained to recreate the investigative trail to effectively cover up where the information was originated. In other words, if I was to tell Senator LaRue to be at the crossroads of Hollywood and Vine at 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon and be on the lookout for a 1969 white Chevy pickup, and he was to be there and find it, and he was to stop that vehicle, plant some drugs on that vehicle, and then arrest the person, but then in court, never tell the court I am the one that told him to be there. This is what they are doing, and they're doing it massively all across the country. Now, there's a Nancy Gerter, who's a graduate from Harvard Law School. She's now a professor and served as a federal judge from 1994 to 2011, and she says that she has never seen anything on the scale that it is right now. If an arrest is made, the agents then pretend that their investigation began with a traffic stop, not with the SOD tip, the former agent said. Training document reviewed by Reuters refers to this process called parallel construction. Now, just so everybody understands this, the organic constitution gives us a couple of guarantees. The one we're dealing with tonight is the Fourth Amendment. I'm going to read it directly from the Constitution. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the person or things to be seized. So when I tell Senator LaRue to be at Hollywood and Vine, that's the first violation of that person's constitutional rights. The arrest is the second, because everything done after that is unconstitutional. Of course, we're not dealing with a constitutional government either. So they're doing what they want. Now, I also want you to know that government officials in the corporation, they don't like lying either, because, you know, when you lie under oath, you commit perjury. Now, under their codes and their statutes, you can get anywhere from 5 to 10 years, depending on what court you're in, if you perjure yourself. Now, that may be for you and I, but it's probably not for them. But there's also a state police crime lab that was caught lying under oath. In the end, the taxpayers will pay out of the pocket for this behavior, along with the innocent caught up in our corrupt system. Hundreds of criminals across the country have had their convictions overturned, costing the taxpayers millions. If you have nothing to hide, submit it to illegal searches that are condoned by our court system. Taxpayers better have your seatbelt on. That comes from that particular state's state police crime lab. Have you ever heard of the Clapper? Now, that's the guy here about 2 months ago was sitting before their Senate, and he was the head of the NSA, and he was saying all these great, wonderful things like, we do not spy on Americans, and we don't do this, and we don't do that. Well, there's this one individual who's now in Russia. His name is Mr. Snowden. And I've heard people say all different kind of things about him. Technically, for the Republic, he's a hero because he's uncovered something and then spilt the beans. And ever since that time, the U.S. corporation has been doing their best to save face. They have a lot of egg on their face right now, and they're eating a lot of crow because every time they open their mouth, it's proved to be a lie. So how many cases of perjury have they committed, we'll say, in the last 2 months? How many articles of the Constitution have they broken by doing what they're doing, spying on you and I? I'll tell you, it's getting to the point to where it is so perplexed as far as the technology goes. PCs are going out in a couple of years. Laptops will be out in probably 5, and everything's going to go to your right hand. Did you hear what I just said? To your right hand. iPads, phones. Well, you might want to take a look at Revelation 13, verses 16 to 18, and see what that says, because we're headed in that direction. And with that, I yield.
Well, thank you so much, Roger. We had an interesting, spirited call this evening, and I need to get back to my board. We are a little long. Everyone who received an email for tonight's call, you did get a copy of a link to get Roger's document that goes with his call for this evening. Anyone that's interested in helping with research, please send an email to house.admin or senate.admin@republicoftheunitedstates.org. They're looking for anyone and everyone to help out with research. Also, if you go to the Republic website under the Resource Library at the bottom, you'll find a new trifold brochure has been put there in a PDF format. Those of you that are working on recruiting, you can print that out or have it printed. There's a lot of options online that are fairly inexpensive, and use that as part of your arsenal. And with that, we will close this call this evening. And Brenda Owens, would you close our call in a prayer for us tonight?
Yes, can you hear me?
I can. Thank you, Brenda.
Okay. Abba Father, we want to thank you so much for what you're doing. And we just thank you so much for everyone on this call. We continue to pray for everyone that you will give them great understanding and wake us all up to the full extent of what's been done and what we need to do. We continue to pray for those that are working so hard and diligently, and we continue to ask that you refresh and strengthen them. And you said to ask and to seek and to knock, and help them to continue so, because you promise that they'll find and the doors will be opened up unto them. And so we just pray this, and we thank you so much for everyone, and continue to pray that you will bless us with truth and understanding. We ask this all in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you all so much. Kelby, thank you. Have a great week, everyone.
Just the same, the land of the brave, the U.S. of A.